This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I, well, you can turn if you want to. Look at Luke chapter 10. But while you're turning there, we talked about last week, we talked about two characteristics. One of them was, remember, the ability to relate. I call it relatability. And we learned a new word, right? It's a prayer of faith word. Relatability. The ability to relate to your team members. How that, you know, if you don't relate to your team members, it's hard to be on a team, isn't it? You feel like the fifth wheel. Then we also talked about if you're going to be on a team and it's going to work well, individuality. We need to allow each other to be who we are and not try to conform them into something that they're not. And so we talked about that a little bit. And I think listening is one of the keys to relating and to letting people be who they are. Because how do you know if you don't listen to people, how do you know what they like and dislike and what's going well? Here's a good question to ask and listen intently to whomever you're dealing with if in life. What is life giving to you? You know, I've given you that several times, but that's a great question. You know, what is life giving to you? What do you love about life right now? And then here's the next question, and then listen intently, is what is life draining to you? What is life? It's just sucking the life out of you. What is life draining? And if you can have people just talk to you, those that's closest to you on your team about those two questions, and listen intently, you can learn a lot. I like to ask people, I've met a couple of new people in Ada this last week, and I'd say, what do you do for fun? Well, the guy said, I don't do anything for fun. I work. I thought, wow. And you could tell he was all business. He don't do anything for fun, and had his young kids and all. And then the other one that I got to know, he just got out of prison, and he said, well, I hadn't been out long, but I just like hanging out with family. He valued family, and so he talked about his family and all, and I thought, well, isn't that cool? You know, but you can learn a lot by just asking people. And here's what I've learned over the years. We all listen through filtered ears. We all listen through filtered ears. If you have children, you'll know what I mean. You could tell one of them, they come up and ask you something, and then they say, can I do this? Can I go there? Can I have this? And you say, no. One kid hears no, and they say, well, I can't do that. I can't have that. I can't go there. And then you'll have a completely different kid. You'll say no, and that doesn't mean no to them at all. He's got two of those kids. All no means to them is not yet. They need more information. They need me to wear them down. Let me give you a prime example. Addison a few weeks ago said her and Summer was at Walmart and she said, I want a fish. She wanted one of those, what do you call those fish that she bought? Huh? A beta. She wanted one of those little fish, and her mama said, no, because you don't have, she said, I got my own money. And she said, yeah, but you don't have the money for the tank and all the stuff that goes with the fish. No, you can't have a fish. So her daddy comes home. They're working out in the garage together. I think she's separated. I think she herded him out to the garage. And so she wants to go get some stuff to build a robot or something, you know. And so she coaxes her daddy into going to Walmart. Instead of going to build something, she runs right back to the fish and gets the fish and gets the $5 and buys the fish and brings it home. So no from mama meant just mama's not on board. What about daddy? That's what I'm talking about. She's listening, but she's not listening. If no is not what I want, I'll ask someone else. And so when we're listening, there's that place where we can connect. And so we all listen differently. And here's what I've learned, that through your culture, through, you know, what you grew up in, what life experience you've had, that's the filter that is on your ears right now. For instance, if you've been abused, verbally abused, and you know, just taking a lot of hits, verbal abuse growing up. And we're talking, and you do something, you know, it's kind of cool or whatever, and different, and we're in conversation, and I look at you and I say, you're just something else, aren't you? It'd be, according to your filter, it would determine how you take that. In fact, I could just say, if I had a little cards right now, I could say, write down, I'm going to tell, you know, I look at each one of you, and I know you pretty well, each one of you, and I say, you're something else. You know, you are something else. What does that mean to you? What do you think I mean? And you'd write it down, and you could hand it all in and put your name on it. Everybody would be different. Some of you that's confident, you'd say, I think I'm pretty special. Yeah, see, right there. Miss Thelma, she knows she's special. And some of you say, well, what do you mean by that? Same words, but we're all listening with filtered ears. We all hear it different. That's why when you tell one kid no, it just means it's a done deal. The other kid just means I got to find other means. And by the way, she did get some sort of a little, you know, she still has the fish. But she did, you know. And we was telling friends about that yesterday. We got so tickled, and they said, how's Addie? And we told them about that. And they said, well, I hope they took the fish back. I said, no, she still has the fish. You raise your kids the way you want to, and someone will raise hers the way she wants to. That's what I've learned. Are you listening? Yeah. And so let's just look at a few scenarios. But just remember, when you're listening, is that really what they mean? Because you're listening through filtered ears. You're listening according to what you've heard. Some of you, for instance, on You're Really Something, you would take that critically. You'd say, well, I'm not something. You know, you'd take it in a negative way because of where you've come from and how you would receive that. That's why I really... discourage email at work. If anything can be taken in a critical way, you know, you can't hear tone, you can't hear body language, you can't see that, you can't, you know, it's just words on a screen. And if there's ever you shoot an email that could be controversial, most of the time it's going to be controversial. And I think if there's something that needs to be talked about or something that needs to be handled, an issue, you should at least pick up the phone or go see them eyeball to eyeball. Because how many knows when I'm looking at you, you're gonna listen differently than you are if it's on a piece of paper. I've had people come and talk to me directly and face to face, and I'm listening, and then I've had people write me notes that wasn't so good. Can you believe that? A nice guy like me, and they'd write me notes that wasn't very good. But you could just hear. I had a guy one time call me on the voicemail. It's when we had, you know, you push the button in the voicemail machine, and boy, he gave me a tongue lashing, called me a dictator, and you just think you're God, you know. It's awful. He was my Sunday school superintendent. I tell you, we got tough leadership around here. And so I played his message, and here's what it was all over. His daughter he had come to church. His daughter went somewhere to stay the night or something. And right before Sunday school, we had Sunday school at the time, he says to me, my daughter needs her glasses. She forgot her glasses. She's at a friend's. She needs them right now for some reason. And I need to go do that right now. Can you cover my class? And I hadn't studied the lesson. I'm doing the preaching for that day. And I said, no. I hadn't studied, and I'm going to go back and reflect on what I'm preaching today, and no. And so I'm not sure what he did with his class and all, but, you know, he's the superintendent. He's supposed to have people under him that he can go to, not me. And so anyway, I just told him no, and then that's what brought the phone call. When I listened to that critical message to me, but I didn't take offense to that. My filter said, you know, he's out of order, and I'm going to let him cool off, and I'm going to go look at him. See? Now, your filter, you might have said, oh, my gosh, and I can't believe he's made such accusations against me and all this kind of stuff. And here's something else I know. As I was listening, I know that I am a strong kind of dominant personality. If you didn't know that, I am. But I like people. You know, and I try to be nice. But that's my filter, and I understand that, you know, I can come off brash or whatever, and so I understand that. So that's the filter I listen through. Are you with me? And so Janice said, what are you going to do? You're going to call him back? And I said, no, I'm going to let him think about it, and then tomorrow I'm going to go see him. So I let him stew over it, and I drove over to his house across town, and he came to the door, and I said, I just come to see you and tell you I love you. And that I'm sorry I offended you, obviously. And just check on you, really. And he invited me in, and we had a good conversation, and he apologized. And he gave me some money for gas. He did. I said, I don't need gas money. I really, no, take it. No, you know. And so he gave me gas money for whatever reason. And so, you know, and he gave me a Jesus key ring. And it's all because I was listening with different ears. Now, I used to, before Jesus, I would have called him something back. Are you with me? But now I'm listening with filtered ears that says, love your enemies. If he treats you like one, he may be my enemy for a minute, but I'm going to love him like, you know, love him like he's the same friend I've always had. Same guy. True story, I got up one morning and I told the story about a truck that I had, and they're supposed to fix it, and they didn't. And I took it back two or three times. They're still wanting to charge me more money. And I said, the Lord said, just hold your peace. And I held my peace. And he was listening, same guy out in the congregation listening. And he came up after, and I had bought this last part. I said, I wanted to tell everybody to come in, you know, while I'm sitting there, everybody coming in with their car, run. This place would rip you off. Just run. But I held my peace, and he's listening to me. And so after church, he said, here's whatever that last part cost. He said, here's the money for that last part. And he said, God told me to give you this because I didn't hold my peace when I took my car, and I told everybody. See, never, and I say that to you, never know who's listening to you and how your testimony is going out. And so when we're saying things, it's worthy of God's, time, and it honors him, then who knows where it will land. But so we're listening through filtered ears. Now, Luke chapter 10, let me get over there. And I pick very familiar stories because I don't want to get caught up in the story. What I want you to do is notice just the listening, okay? That's all three of these are real familiar to us. And so, and they're all short, so it won't take long. But this is how we, I just want to look at it. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now this is Martha and Mary, real familiar story. But what I want you to notice in this story is what's being said and who is listening. What's being said is coming from Martha, and who is listening is Jesus. Okay? Are you with me? So we're not too concerned about what's going on, but we're looking at how Jesus listens to a woman that's really going to kind of rake him over the coals. You ever been raked over the coals by a woman, guys? If you're married, you have, right? She'll rake you over for your own good. And aren't we glad? Yes, that'd be a good time to nod. Yes, sirree. So now it happened, verse 38, Luke 10, 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. You can get the picture. She's hugging Jesus, and you know, they're probably giving kisses on the cheeks, and she's just thrilled to see Jesus and his gang, and Jesus, when he starts talking, he just talks and talks and talks, and so he's staying a while, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She's also listening to Jesus. So, and just get the picture. Martha's glad that he's there. She welcomes him in, and now that he's talking and she's sitting at his feet, but Martha all of a sudden looks at the clock or the sundial, whatever it is, you know, and she says, oh, it's about dinner time. And so she gets up evidently and goes to the kitchen. And it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. You ladies ever been distracted with much serving when you got company and nobody will get up and help you? How many is a Martha when you have that situation?
Yeah.
Well, at least you're honest, aren't you? And I hope you learn from this that you don't handle it like Martha. You don't sit in the kitchen and stew with the stew. But you get out and you say, you know, hey, are we going to eat? Would y'all like to eat now? And if so, I need some help in the kitchen. If not, then we'll all just sit out here. Or you could say, if y'all don't want to help, I'm going to go get me something to eat. I'll be right back. Or you can be a Martha and sit around and make for everybody and get all huffy and puffy if you want to. But I'd suggest you don't, because Jesus, we'll see here, he's listening to these harsh words, but his filters, how many knows when Jesus hears something, he hears it correctly? And it says, Martha was distracted with much serving, so she approached him, she approached Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? I've often said nobody but a woman would get on to Jesus like that. Therefore, tell her, now she's telling Jesus what to say and how and what to tell. Tell her to help me. Now that's what's being said, and how many knows Jesus in his filtered hearing is not listening to that? Listen, that's really important, church. People are going to say harsh things to us, and it's really important if you want a good outcome, if you want a godly outcome, don't listen to what's being said. Listen to the underlying tones. Is it critical? Is it demeaning? All that, it's all of that here that Martha is dishing out. You know, he came in, she's happy. Now she's all flustered and she's speaking what she should be just, you know, she should come out and ask for help. She don't. She waits and she's stewing and she criticizes Jesus. She criticizes the sister, but he's not listening according to what's being said. That is really key. If you want to create a good team, learn to listen to whatever's not being said, but listen to that underlying tone. This is what he says. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. See his filter? He said, your problem is not your sister. Your problem is not me and telling people what they should be doing right now. The problem is you are distracted and you're worried because you're in there. Nobody's asked you to get up. Nobody's, you know, I understand this is your house. And I know that, ladies, when people come to your house, you feel obligated, don't you? How many ladies, just be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but just you'd rather go to somebody else's house if you're having a party? Because that way you don't have to pick up your dirty underwear and, you know, and all that stuff, right? You don't have to make sure all the towels are just right and everything's on the cabinets just if you go to somebody else's house. And then you go in their house and you just know that you don't have to worry. It's not reflecting you one bit. You just get to go in and sit down. And if it's out of order, everybody says, ooh, her house is out of order. It's not you. So I understand. Jesus understands. This is Martha's house and he understands all that. But he's saying, you know what? These critical things you just said to me and to my sister, I don't hear that. What I hear is what's wrong with you. Can I tell you something? That is, when you grow up to that point where somebody criticizes you and you come back and you say, you know what? And God has put me at a place where most of the time I look at people that criticize me as saying, well, what did I do that's give them this, if it's something I've done, or if they're criticizing something else, what's wrong with them? And what do I need to say? What can I say to help them? That will take them off being critical to someone else to taking them back on the issue that really needs to be handled. Because how many knows, if we can hear that, then we can help people get back on track, just like Jesus did. Now, I wish it would have finished the story, but when we get to heaven, we'll have to ask, you know, tell us the how this all worked out. You know, it just says, you're troubled and worried about many things. And then he says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. Everybody say good part. He's turning it around, isn't he? He's not addressing, you know, her snide remarks. He just says, you know, here's what's caused your snide remarks. You're distracted and you're worried about many things. I think, Mary, Martha, you would like to be in here listening as well, but because you're distracted and you're not picking up everything I'm teaching them right now, you'd like to be. And you've already started dinner and you're in the middle of it. And the longer you cook, the madder you get. And he says, but Mary has taken the good part, you know, and I think that's what aggravates you. and has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. I will not tell her to get up, and I will not stop talking. So come in here. I think probably he just said, come on in, sit down, we'll fix something after. But it doesn't say, but I'd like to know the end of the story. How about you? Have you ever read that and you say, well, why don't you just finish the story? Because when you listen to the word, there's more to it. Kind of like the widow that gave the two pennies, and Jesus said, look, I'll show you the, come over here, guys, I'll show you the best giver in the house. And then he just drops the story. I mean, those, you can't be the best giver in the house without getting a blessing. I thought, well, tell the blessing. Now I've got to wait till I get to heaven to hear about the blessing. That's listening for what's not being said. And so that's the other frustrating part of listening for what's not being said is you'll see things in here and it'll aggravate you some. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Now, we're going to turn the tables, and this is Jesus. This is Jesus doing the talking, and someone else is listening. Remember in the last story, Jesus is listening, someone else is talking. Now, this is Jesus doing the talking, and someone else is listening, and they're hearing through filtered ears. Here's what, how many knows that we, as I mentioned a while ago, we have kids that when you say no, that means you're done. And then when you have other kids that when you say no, it just means, well, I have to keep pounding, keep, you know, finding a way to get what I want. And this is the lady. This is the lady that she don't hear no. Jesus is saying no, but she don't hear no. She just hears, she's not going to hear until he gets very much more critical because he tries to be critical, but she's still not hearing. And so watch her filters. Watch this. I've seen this on television and heard stories, beautiful stories about moms and different people that would intercede that was trying to help their children and trying to get something accomplished or trying to put a law to pass because their kids had suffered or whatever, and they will not hear no. They will not hear it can't be done or no. And so this is Jesus talking and someone is listening, but they're not listening to what Jesus is saying. In verse 21, then Jesus went out from and departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. So the first thing he does is ignores her. How many knows when somebody's ignoring you, you're hearing them? You ever been in a room where you know you've been ignored? Doesn't that speak volumes to you? When you know somebody's seen you? I have had it where, you know, you go in a room or something, you say hi, and they just kind of look at you and walk off. Not very often. Because usually I run them down. I think, I'm so dumb, I think, they didn't hear me. You know, and my wife said, no, they're mad at you, Jack. Again, it's unbelievable. I just... He answered her not a word. And then his disciples urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. I'm so shocked the woman didn't say, excuse me, Mr. Fisherman, I am not after us, I'm after him. Because she's a pretty brazen lady. Her daughter needs help, and she's not hearing. This ignoring her isn't speaking volumes to her. It's not discouraging to her. She's listening, but I mean, she's hearing through filtered ears. Her filter is, my daughter needs help. You have the goods, and I'm not going to be quiet. Send her away, she cries out after us. How many parents would just be honest and say, you know, if I went to a healing service, took my kid, and this guy's had a like a Benny Hinn or Oral Roberts and has had documented cases of people being healed. But when you came to the man of God and you walked up there and you asked him a question and he ignored you, wouldn't give you the time of day, and his helpers around the stage are saying, just get on out of here. How many would say that would be hard to pursue? How many would let your feelings come in and say, you know what? If that's the kind of people they are, forget it. It'd be hard, wouldn't it? If you were getting this kind of treatment, I don't care what's the matter. But it'd be the same kind of deal today if you went to something like that. And first of all, you try to talk to him face to face. And I'm just wanting to try to give you the picture here of how we might feel. We read over this stuff and we say, that would be tough, wouldn't it? You'd probably have your little crippled kid or sick kid in your arms hobbling out of the stadium. A lot of people would, if you're not hearing with filtered ears. She's heard about him, and she knows who he is. She knows what he can do. And his whole deal is, he's not being rude here, his whole deal is, God sent me to the house of Israel, and I'm speaking to them, and they're going to have deaf ears. And I don't know why he's sending him, because he already knew that. He said they're going to have deaf ears, and then we're going to turn to the Gentiles and graft them in. But this is the order that God put everything in. And so it seems like he's being rude, but he's not. He's on track with his calling. Be like me saying, we're going to have, Michaela's not going to sing anymore. We need her to teach now, and her gift's not teaching or whatever, moving you around to some position where you're not really called. But you flow in your position. This is where Jesus is flowing and what he's doing. And says, but verse 24, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, we're Jews. You're an American. If can you imagine going to the crusade and him saying, I'm not an American. I'm just ministering to Jews and you're not a Jew. So we'll see you later. How many knows you got to listen to filtered ears if you're going to take this kind of rejection? And I'm telling you, church, we can learn something here to say, I'm never going to listen to criticism. I'm never going to listen to harsh words again the same. I'm going to listen from the person that's given the criticism. And I know in my heart I'm right, so I'm not going to take it personal. And I'm going to ask God, what's the matter with these individuals? What do I need to do here to help this situation? That's growth. That is growth, isn't it? If we can hear with ears like that. And so he says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and she worshipped him. You know what? After this point, it's kind of like, is she deaf? Is she hearing anything? Listen, she's hearing, but she's not listening. This is not connecting in her heart that this is going to go on. I mean, she's not taking no, is she? She's an Addie Roberts after a fish, isn't she? Then she came and worshiped him, and she said, Lord, help me. Help me. And then the final blow, I'm telling you, she is listening through different ears, church. He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Oh my goodness. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Whew. Let me just know. Let's go back to the crusade. You're there, and this is the final thing he said to you. You're not a Jew, and I don't give this good stuff that God's given me to dogs. Oh, my goodness. You've got to listen with different ears. You have to listen. I think she just knew in her heart that this is my only hope of delivering my daughter. It's not about me. It's not about my feelings. It's not about any. All it's about is getting this man to say yes. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Isn't that humbling? Listen, I think sometimes if we listen with humble ears instead of prideful ears, we could really read between the lines, don't you? But when we're criticized, our old pride just rises up, doesn't it? Yeah, well, you think you're all that? And it just, here it comes. And so we listen to everything with critical ears. I think if there's ever a baptism we need, it's to baptize our ears with the Holy Spirit. So we could stop listening with critical ears. Just critical. We're so critical as a church. And you don't see that in Jesus when he was walking out among the people, the heathens, the prostitutes, the thieves, the he just loved them and touched them, and he heard from their heart who they were. He didn't care about their story. He knew they were God's creation, and he would touch them right where they were, and he'd listen to them as individuals, and they'd come to him. And then Jesus said, now he's still doing the talking, isn't he? Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You know, I think there's so many family situations that could be healed if we just listened through filtered ears by the Holy Spirit. I really do. Because we don't take it personal now. It might be something that's critical to us. Listen, I give this out all the time to families and individuals. You know, they say, "Well, I've got this problem with my kids or my grandkids or my whoever it is in family." And it's always the same. You know, you have to run your life, set your boundaries. Set boundaries that work for you, that you know is God-ordained boundaries for you. And as you set those boundaries, how many know it's going to aggravate some of your family? It's going to aggravate people. But if it's your spouse, you set boundaries together that's going to work for you. If it's outside your spouse, you set boundaries that's going to work for you. If you're single, you set boundaries that's going to work for you in your finances, your religion, your health, your social, your fun, hobbies, recreation, whatever it is, physical, you know, you growth plans. You set these things that edify you and glorify God. And if those out there aren't happy about it, then you know you work with them. But let them be upset if they need be. But don't be critical back. Listen with filtered ears and say, "I know this is where God has put me. I know this is where I belong, and I'm going to stay here. This is what I'm going to do." And you're not sucking the life out of me. You're not pulling me off course. Be like Jesus. "This is my plot. I don't have a choice. I'm following the calling of God. This is where I belong, and this is where I can function best for me, and I'll help you inside these boundaries. I'll bless you inside these boundaries, whatever it is that I know God has set up for me to do." And I'm telling you, when we listen with ears that says, "I know who I am, I know where God has put me, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'll bless accordingly." You know, we clapped a while ago when we sent money, and thank God for sending money to burn out, you know, families that have lost everything. But we tried to check, and they had insurance, and tried to check what their needs were right now, and not overdue, not underdue. But we want to be a good steward, but we cannot meet every need. And so within our boundaries that we have set up, we meet needs that we feel like God is. We get our intercessors involved each year on where we need to send money and what we need to do and what God's willing us to do inside these boundaries so we can be financially healthy. See? And you do the same in your life. The key thing I want you to get out of that is then listen through filtered ears, because everybody's got needs, right? Your kids, your grandkids, your friends, whomever it may be, they all have needs, they all have wants, they all have places they want you to go, things they want you to do, but inside your back, is that what you want to do? And so you listen, and if people are critical of you, don't be critical back. Listen with filtered ears to say, "You know what? I'm full of grace and full of mercy and full of the Holy Spirit. I won't be mad at you, even if you're mad at me. Because I don't listen with that anymore. I don't, you know, just don't listen with that kind of ear anymore. It doesn't work." At first, for my third individual, I was going to talk to you about Pete because we've looked at him a few times. But just let me remind you, here's what Jesus, remember, and if you don't write these down, you can, but we're not going there because I changed that. After meditating on it, I changed it. Mark 8:31. This is where Jesus rebukes Peter. Remember, he tells what the story. They're going to go, and he's going to suffer many things, and he's going to give his life, and then he's going to be resurrected. And Pete don't like the plan. Remember, Pete never did like the plan. He's hearing the plan. He don't like the plan. You ever heard a plan you don't like? You know what? One of the things that I had to really adjust I love my wife to pieces, but one of the things I learned about my wife is when we go to dinner and I say, "What do you want to eat?" She says, "I really don't care." That does not mean she really don't care. Because I'll say, "Well, let's go over here." "Well, if that sounds good to you, I guess it'll be okay." Yeah. It's just a ritual we do. I say, "Well, really, you know." And then sometimes she'll say, "No, really, I really, really don't care." That means, okay, I can pick whatever I want in the boundaries of stuff she likes. I'm listening. I didn't know that, because I thought when I married her, "I really don't care" meant I really don't care. And in that context, "I really don't care" means give her three or four choices, and she'll pick one, and we'll go there. That's just what it means. And "really, really don't care" means I'm free. I can pretty much get anything as long as I know she don't like it. I can go there. But I didn't get that until listening. And I'm sure she's got things similar to me that she could stand up here and say, "Well, he says this, and really what he means is, you know." But you don't get that if you don't listen. And so Pete hears the plan, but he never accepts the plan, because over in John 18:10, that's the second scripture I was going to take you to, but we're not going, so write it down, and I'm going to skip over. He draws his sword. Remember, when they come out to take Jesus, he draws his sword and tries to cut the Malchus's head off. The high priest helper, he's trying to cut his head off. He gets his ear, and so he's still not on board with the plan. And then finally, remember, we talked about it, I think it's last week, where in John 21:3, where Jesus comes back and he prepares fish for them on the shore, and "Have you caught any fish?" And they said, "No." And he comes to the shore, you know, and then he feeds them and takes care of them a while. And he says, and he finally, he's still asking this connecting question, because he knows Pete knows the plan. He knows Pete's heard the plan repeatedly, but he knows Pete had connected with the plan. How many has ever heard the word buy-in? See, when you connect with people and they're listening, they'll have buy-in. Or not. And that's the way with Addison again. She didn't have buy-in. I mean, that's a simple term for that situation, or maybe a powerful term for that simple situation, but she didn't have buy-in that no was final. So she pursued other things. Same way with your kids, your spouse, your team members, whoever it is you're trying to connect with. When you tell what it is that you're wanting to do, and they don't connect, they don't have buy-in, they're not going to do whatever it is you want to do. That, my friends, makes for a long, hard team. Because if you have somebody on your team, in your family, wherever it is, that's not bought in to your vision, to your mission, to your purpose, then you are in trouble. Because they're going to be like a sore thumb all the time. You know, you're going to have to try to bring them in your boundaries and hurt them if you're over the team, because they're not bought in. They're, you know, they've heard it. They know what it is. They know what's supposed to be done, but they're not buying it, and they just never do. And so finally, Jesus presses Peter in 21:3, in following scriptures, he presses him and says, "Do you love me more than these fish?" He said, "Well, you know I do." "No, do you love me more than these fish?" is what I'm, "Well, you know I," and it stresses him out, and he says, "Pete, I'm going to ask you one more. Do you love me more than these?" He said, "Well, then go out and feed my sheep and hang your net up again." He finally gets buy-in from Pete. And then you know the story. He's on the podium preaching the first gospel message, and the Holy Spirit comes. But he had to really, all I'm saying is, you cannot tell your team, whether it's your home team or family or whomever, you cannot tell them once and know, "Oh, everybody knows. It's all good now. I told the kids, pick up all their stuff. It'll never be the same now. I'll give you one better net. I told my husband to pick up all of his stuff. It'll be all right now. He'll never throw his underwear down on that floor again. I told him once." You might do this, ladies. If you don't pick his underwear up, throw him outside a time or two. Just a thought. In the backyard. Or something, you know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We know it's been said, but there's no connection. There's no buy-in. And so it just doesn't work. It's It's not going to work. So go with me to John chapter 11. I'll show you one last thing here, and then we'll close. John chapter 11. Here's another guy, because this is another one of the 12 here, that he's just, Jesus is clear. Well, he's somewhat clear. He certainly doesn't, it certainly shows you the filtered ears that this guy has he's talking to. Jesus is doing the talking here. And then, and this is Lazarus, the story of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. Same Martha, remember the distracted Martha? Same one. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet and with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, when he's saying this to his disciples, okay? He's saying it to the 12. But that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. So it's pretty clear. He's saying, guys, he's sick, but it won't end in death. It'll end to glorify me. It's going to bring glory. God's going to do a great thing here and glorify me. So he's saying it not in terms we'd probably use. He could have said this. Listen, guys, Lazarus is alive right now, but he's going to die, and we're going to stay here until God releases us. And then we're going to go, and I'm going to touch him, and he's going to raise him up. Now, that would have been clearer. But he's given these guys, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that I may be glorified. That's what he's saying. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Did you get that? He loved old stressful Martha. Aren't you glad he loves you, all you stressors? Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now watch. Remember I talked about experience? You hear things according to your experience. Your filters are adjusted by your experience. The disciples said, Rabbi, teacher, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? You know where their filter comes from. Last time we were there, we about got killed. Are we going back there again? How many said if God sent you to a rough part of town or rough country or something and you almost got killed last time, and he comes back and says, I need you to take one more trip? How many of you might say, really? Remember what happened to me last time I went there? That's kind of what they're doing. The filter comes, their hearing comes by what happened last time there. So keep that in your mind. He said, and Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. And he's talking in spiritual terms here. And he, you know, God, this is a God thing. He's called us to go there. If God's called us to go there, he'll take care of us. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. In other words, if God wasn't directing us, I wouldn't go. But if he is directing us, we're walking in light because we're walking in the will of God. That still holds true for today for you and me. If we're walking in God's will, we're walking in light. If we're walking according to our own desires, you know, and getting out of the will of God, well, there's going to be some darkness there that we're not going to like. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. He'll be all right. We don't need to go over there again. Filtered ears, isn't it? They're trying to persuade him from the last experience. Don't go back there. He'll be all right. You know, if he dies, there's 2 sisters left, so no big deal. Jesus plainly says, he says to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, everybody's heard that. He's dead. But I'm glad because, you know, I'm going to be glorified. It's going to be a great experience. They've all heard that. Now listen to what Thomas said. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You know, I can just see Jesus. Really? 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 Why did you give me him? You don't hear a word I say. You know, I'm just saying, He knows what God, Jesus said. He's made it plain. He's died. We're going. It's going to be awesome. And all he can hear is through his filtered ears is what happened the last time. We're all going to die. And he just can't help his little doubtful self. He has to just speak it out in the crowd. Now listen to me. Just because you said it, it does not mean they heard it. That's why when I made us a little mission statement, I just made it so simple. Because I thought really the whole mission of Scripture is, you know, is to love one another. Isn't it? To model Christ's love. That's our mission. To model Christ's love. He said, when you have love for one another, you know, all men will know that you belong to me. And then just faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. However you express that. However you express that. You're all not evangelists, so I don't expect you to be evangelists. I'm not an evangelist. But however you express the love of Jesus Christ, express that to the world, to your community, to your family, to your church, to wherever you are. Express it that way. And then just let each prayer faith member help them to discover and utilize their spiritual gifts. That's it. That's our mission statement. I think that's what he gave us, but I keep it really short and really simple because we are simple people. I know we're simple. You say, well, I'm not simple. Well, you come here and I'm simple. And I'm your leader. But we're all simple people. You know, we make it so hard, but it's not hard. But I say it shortly and so directly because I think, you know what? We're not hearing it. We're not hearing it. We're not hearing it. It's easy. In fact, I think our mission statement could really be like this, where Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think that could be every church's mission statement and be fine. The only reason we put something else in paper is because everybody's supposed to, they say. But let me ask you something. If you're listening to that and somebody says, do you love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul? And you say, yes, I am. I'm doing that right now. Which means, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you're not keeping his commandments, I may say that I'm loving him with all my... But we're not listening. These filtered ears has got us messed up. If I say I love God with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul, and I'm not keeping the Scripture, I'm just talking. Are you with me? Now, it doesn't mean we don't all struggle to keep it, but if we're in a committed, you know, sin or unforgiveness or bitterness or greed or whatever we're doing out here, and we know we're contradicting this, and we're saying, oh, yeah, I love God with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul. No, we don't. We're not listening. We're like Thomas. We're like Pete. And then simply just love your neighbor as yourself. If you're loving your neighbor, you're going to listen with filtered ears that says, I have grace for you, I have love for you, I have mercy for you, and I won't take it personal. When Jesus, aren't you glad Jesus didn't die on the cross for us and then blame us? He said they don't know what they're doing. He was listening to the Father and he went to the cross for us. So I'm telling you, let's improve our filters. Let's listen. Let's listen with filtered ears that's full of this. And stop taking things so personal and getting all muddled up. And then next Sunday we're going to look at the blessings. Father, thank you for showing us that, you know, just because it's said, it doesn't mean that's the way it is. Thank you, Lord, for modeling for us. When somebody's frustrated us and slamming us and criticizing us, that we should listen through loving, Holy Spirit-filled ears. We should look between the lines. Give us the ability to see what's really happening. Give us the gifts of discernment and wisdom and the word of knowledge and help us to operate with ears that are hearing in a different manner. Grow us to a place that we can hear with godly ears and that we can be healers of people and situations and families and teams for your glory. That's our prayer and our desire. And thank you for modeling that for us. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen.